The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Donald Trump has said the Iran war will be over pretty quickly, but the US hasn't won enough yet. Here's some of what he had to say overnight.
We're knocking them out very quickly. We're ahead of our initial timeline by a lot. I would say that we probably would not have thought after a month we'd be here. In addition to the fact that we've taken out the leadership twice and maybe three times. And we, as you know, we want to be involved. We don't want another president that maybe wouldn't be willing to do what I'm willing to do for the good of the world, for the good of our nation, to be stuck with a situation in 5 years or 10 years from now. So we think they should put a president in or the head of the country in that's going to be able to do something peacefully for a change. They've been doing this for 47 years.
Now I'm joined by Simon Marks, who's chief correspondent with Feature Story News. Simon, I think it's fair to say over the course of the morning here on the programme, his announcement that we're nearly at the end of this has been greeted with some cynicism. Is it the same where you are?
Yes, I think so. And I think that that cynicism is fair because any viewer of that news conference, Claire, could find in it pretty much anything they wanted from the President of the United States. It was a masterclass in contradiction and an emphasis in the trajectory of the conflict over the last 8 or 9 days that has never seen any consistency in anything that the president has actually said. I mean, he went so far yesterday as to claim that Iran was not only on the brink of acquiring a nuclear weapon that would be able to attack the United States, although he also continued to say that the United States had completely obliterated Iran's nuclear capacity last July, but he also suggested that Iran was on the brink of taking over the entire Middle East. Now, there is absolutely nobody out there that thinks that that is rooted in any kind of factual analysis of what the Iranians were up to. He says that he's going to give this, I think essentially what he's saying is that he's going to give this a few more days and then perhaps engage in some kind of partial withdrawal. But what's really taking place behind the scenes, many analysts believe, is that the Saudis and the Qataris particularly are piling pressure on the White House and saying this has got to stop. It's laying waste to economies of your allies in the Middle East region. We'll give you a few more days, but this absolutely has got to wrap up.
But it can't be playing out well for him domestically either, because, you know, price of oil is a very sensitive issue in the United States, where the cost of living for all products has been going up and up in recent times. I know that Donald Trump talks about eggs all of the time and says that the price of those have come down. But when it comes to what they pay at the pumps, they're very sensitive to it, and this just won't wash.
No, they are. And he talks about the price of gas at the pumps as well. He's constantly making the largely false claim that in various parts of the country prior to this conflict, you could purchase it for $1.89 a gallon. I mean, there might be a couple of garages giving that kind of price away, but that certainly was not anywhere close to the national average. But today, the national average is up more than 40 cents over what it was last week. It now stands at around $3.50 a gallon. And the price of diesel rose by 71% in 71 cents in 1 week alone as a result of this conflict, which is a record increase for the price of diesel at the pumps. President Trump, as you know, threatened to hit Iranian infrastructure if the Iranians make any efforts to block the Strait of Hormuz. And he did correctly observe that that action would mostly assist other countries because only about 2% of American energy needs pass through the Strait of Hormuz. But nonetheless, this war has already had a dramatic impact on the prices that Americans are encountering when they visit garage forecourts. And that, of course, only deepens their antipathy to his decision to wage this war.
He was asked, wasn't he, when he was speaking to reporters last night about the strike on the school in Iran and the investigation that has taken place in the wake of that that strike, has found that it was an American Tomahawk that carried out that strike, which resulted in so many deaths of school children. What was the response from him to that question?
Well, he addressed it twice during the course of the press conference and on both occasions indicated that he believes that the Iranians had access to a Tomahawk, arguing that there's a vigorous trade on the free market in Tomahawk missiles and it's perfectly possible that the Iranians got one. He was eventually cornered by a reporter from the New York Times who said to him, "You're the only person in your administration who is saying that this might have been an Iranian error. Everybody else is saying it's an American error." And indeed, even at that very moment, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, a Republican up on Capitol Hill, was apologizing publicly and saying how devastated he was to have discovered that it was an American missile that struck that school with a cost of more than 165 lives. And the president eventually grudgingly said, "Well, if that's what the investigation finds out, you know, I'm good with that. I'll go with that." But he again suggested that he believes it's his opinion, based on what he's heard, that it might have been an Iranian mistake.
Now, there's also some news on the Epstein investigation. There's a new search, isn't there, of his Zorro Ranch. This is the ranch in New Mexico, which belonged to Jeffrey Epstein. So while the headlines are all grabbed by what's been happening in Iran, this story, which was headline news prior to that Saturday when the first strikes happened, that is continuing.
Yes, it's only intensifying, and with a fresh focus on Donald Trump's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. The Department of Justice last week released 16 pages of additional documents that they say they had improperly held back from the 3 million pages that they released back at the end of January that specifically pertain to allegations brought in 2019 by a woman who claims that she was abused by Donald Trump and by Jeffrey Epstein when she was a teenager in the 1980s. But it's apparent that there are another 37 pages of documents relating to FBI interviews with that woman that are still being withheld, on top of the other 3 million pages that the Department of Justice says that it can't release because if it did, it would be hurting or failing to protect the survivors and victims of Epstein or harming the sanctity of ongoing investigations. I mean, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, has got a big decision to make because she's now been subpoenaed to appear before the House Oversight Committee with Republicans on the committee, dissident Republicans, accusing her publicly of a cover-up. Now, if she refuses to appear or fails to show up, she could face contempt of Congress charges. But of course, those contempt of Congress charges would have to be enforced by the Department of Justice that she leads, mm-hmm. which seems exceedingly unlikely under current circumstances.
Simon, thank you so much. Simon Marks there from Feature Story News in Washington.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.